Tonight, the holiday weekend off to a rough start as tens of millions of Americans head out for what's expected to be record travel over the 4th of July. Thunderstorms forcing temporary ground stops at nearly a dozen major airports along the East Coast. More than 4,000 flights delayed or canceled today. The TSA bracing for millions of travelers at airports across the country. Airlines struggling to keep up with the surge of passengers, cutting back on schedules because of pilot, crew, and staff shortages. And drivers facing the highest gas prices ever over July 4th. Near Los Angeles, cars lining up around the block for up to $50 in free gas. The severe thunderstorm watch at this hour. 50 million bracing for dangerous storms in the Northeast, damaging winds and large hail from D.C. to Philadelphia, New York to Boston. Heavy rain and flash flooding now along the Gulf Coast. Rob Marciano tracking it all. News tonight about a deadly police shootout in Kentucky. Two officers and a canine shot and killed, several officers wounded. Police serving a warrant when the gunman opened fire at his home. Pierre Thomas standing by. Summer shark warnings for the holiday weekend. Authorities patrolling the shores. A 17-year-old girl now speaking out from her hospital bed after being attacked by a shark in Florida. Doctors trying to save her leg. Overseas tonight, the deadly Russian missile strike near Odessa, Ukraine. At least 21 people killed, 39 wounded. Russia hitting a residential building and recreation center. After being detained for 134 days, the trial of WNBA star Brittany Griner getting underway in Moscow. President Biden meeting today with 10 Democratic governors, trying to protect abortion rights following the Supreme Court's overturning of Roe v. Wade. The president telling them the fight is not over and warning of a possible nationwide ban on abortion if Republicans gain control of Congress. And the ride at the zoo stranding dozens of visitors high above the ground.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening. It's great to have you with us on this Friday night. I'm Whit Johnson in for David. Tonight, the July 4th holiday weekend is officially underway, and some travelers are already being knocked off course. Temporary ground stops in place at this hour at some of the nation's busiest airports, and a ripple effect nationwide. More than 4,000 flights delayed, over 500 canceled. It comes as a near record number of Americans are on the move despite the pandemic aftershocks, high gas prices, fewer flights, and staffing shortages. A record 42 million people are expected to take to the highways, even though gas prices are the highest they've ever been on the 4th of July, averaging $4.84 a gallon. Prices so high near Los Angeles, hundreds of cars lining up in Compton for a gas giveaway. Fearing disruptions in air travel, the TSA has 1,000 extra agents on standby, and Delta is sending corporate employees to help at multiple airports. But the map shows the reach of those airport ground stops from Atlanta to New York to Chicago. Some of those ground delays until midnight tonight. And there is severe weather for much of the East tomorrow, along with more weather-related delays. Rob Marciano with the forecast in just a moment, but we begin with ABC's Trevor Ault.
Tonight, severe weather slamming the brakes on some 4th of July plans, leading several major airports into ground stops in what's supposed to be one of the busiest travel weekends of the year. Flights in Philadelphia, New York, and the nation's capital all impacted for hours, creating a ripple effect nationwide.
I'm expecting that to be delayed, so I've already told my friend who's going to be picking me up.
Chaos comes as nearly 48 million Americans are expected to celebrate away from home this weekend. Flight demand soaring despite 4th of July airfares climbing 45% from 2019. The average domestic round-trip ticket now $437. Our Alex Perez is at O'Hare International in Chicago.
You can see already a steady line of passengers here at O'Hare bracing for the big holiday weekend. The TSA says they have about 1,000 officers on hold, ready to be deployed at busy airports across the country if necessary.
And major airlines continue to struggle with insufficient staffing. Starting today, Delta, American, and United are all cutting back flight schedules for the next 2 months. The situation is so dire, Delta offered 8 passengers on one overbooked flight $10,000 cash for their seats. But the vast majority of travelers are opting for the roads. A record 42 million traveling this weekend by car, fighting both congestion and inflation. As on average, nationally, a gallon of gas costs $4.84, the most of any July 4th ever.
It's horrible. I regret going to the gas station every time I have to go.
This time last year, it cost $56.21 to fill up the average SUV. Today, it'll set you back $87.15. This morning in Compton, a line of cars snaking around the corner just for a chance at a $50 gas giveaway. As today, California's annual gas tax hike adds nearly 3 more cents a gallon to what are already the highest prices nationwide.
Realize that those gas stations that are closest to the highway exits will always be the most expensive. So if you can take that exit and then drive down the road a mile or so to that gas station there, it will tend to be cheaper.
And Whitford, as backed up as the roads already are, plenty of air travelers are in for some really long nights because we have now climbed over 5,000 flight delays nationwide just today. Whit.
All right, Trevor, thank you. And now that holiday weekend storm threatening 50 million Americans from Washington to New York to Boston. Also tropical moisture for parts of the Gulf, rough surf on the Texas coast, and a waterspout off the coast of South Carolina as a new tropical disturbance brews in the Atlantic. ABC's senior meteorologist Rob Marciano tracking it all for us. Hey, Rob.
Hi, with these tropical troubles and these thunderstorms really starting to feel like July, we have a severe thunderstorm watch up that remains up for D.C. and Baltimore over the next couple of hours, still bubbling up there. The two tropical disturbances, one over Lake Charles, Louisiana. We have a flood watch there and over Charleston as well. Downpours will continue through the overnight period. And that front draping across the Great Lakes, that's what's going to be moving into the northeast tomorrow. We've got this heat and humidity that's building as well. So the I-95 corridor, D.C., Philly, New York, all the way up through Boston between 4 o'clock and, say, 6, 7 o'clock at night. Damaging winds, large hail. Tomorrow certainly looks to be the most pesky weather day of this holiday weekend. Whit.
All right, Rob, thank you. Next tonight, the deadly shootout in eastern Kentucky, leaving two officers and a police canine dead, several other officers wounded. The gunman opening fire when deputies tried serving a warrant for domestic violence. The sheriff saying the officers had no chance. Here's ABC's Chief Justice correspondent, Pierre Thomas.
Tonight, a Kentucky community in mourning. A somber procession winding down, carrying the bodies of two police officers killed in the line of duty.
These are human beings. These are people with children, spouses, and mom and dad. And their world will never be the same.
The officers and their canine support dog were ambushed, killed while trying to serve a warrant for domestic violence.
When they arrived, they had no chance.
Authorities say Lance Storrs immediately began firing with a rifle as soon as the police arrived at the scene.
When I get out of the car, there's bullets raining down on us. It's a war zone.
In addition to the two officers killed, an emergency worker and five other state and local police officers were wounded.
Lance Storrs.
Today, Storrs, looking bruised and battered, was arraigned on murder charges.
There's a special place in hell for people like this. If there ain't, there ought to be.
Domestic violence cases are some of the most unpredictable scenarios police face, and this year in general has proven especially dangerous for police. 178 police officers have been shot so far this year in the line of duty, with that's 19% more than last year.
Truly alarming numbers. All right, Pierre, thank you. We move now to Florida and a teen surviving a shark attack in the shallow waters of northern Florida. The teen fishing for scallops when a shark some 9 feet long latched onto her. Her brother fighting it off, getting her into a boat and putting a tourniquet on her wounded leg. Tonight she is speaking out about her terrifying ordeal. Here's ABC's Victor Okendo.
Tonight, 17-year-old Addison Bethay speaking out from her hospital bed after being bitten by a shark off Florida's Keaton Beach.
Something latches onto my leg. I'm like, that's not right. And so then I look and it's a big old shark. So then I remember from watching like Animal Planet to like you're supposed to punch him in the nose or something like that. And I was like, couldn't get around to his nose the way he bit me.
Addison and her brother were scallop fishing yesterday in 6 feet of water when the shark attacked. Her brother, an EMS firefighter, managing to pull the 9-foot shark off of Addison and get her onto a boat, where he used a rope to make a tourniquet on her leg. She was airlifted to a Tallahassee hospital where doctors are trying to save her leg.
We're getting a report that somebody got attacked by a shark.
It comes just a week after a surfer was attacked in Monterey Bay, California. Good Samaritans rescuing him and quickly getting him to a beach. With crowds flocking to beaches this 4th of July weekend, towns along New York's Long Island stepping up shark patrols using boats and drones after a possible shark bite yesterday.
It is safe to go in the ocean. However, just like crossing the street, you have to take precautions.
And researchers this week warning in July, great whites are drawn to Cape Cod's warm waters and an abundance of seals.
So if you're heading to the beach this holiday weekend, be vigilant, especially if your beach has a shoreline that quickly drops off into deeper waters. Sharks can come closer to the shore when they have that depth. Whit?
Important reminder, Victor. Thanks. And tomorrow on GMA, more of our interview with that 17-year-old shark attack victim and how she says she was able to survive. Overseas tonight, the deadly Russian missile strike in the Odessa region of Ukraine in the middle of the night, blasting an apartment building there as people slept. At least 21 people killed, 39 wounded. And it comes as WNBA star Brittany Griner went on trial back in Moscow. ABC's foreign correspondent James Longman is in Ukraine.
Tonight, Russian missile strikes rain down on a Ukrainian seaside town. This apartment building crushed in the early hours of the morning. At least 16 people killed as they slept. Among the many injured, authorities say children and a pregnant woman.
This community is trying to come to terms with what happened. I mean, take a look. It hit right in the heart of this neighborhood. And up here, you can see every single level of this building has been impacted by the force of the blast.
We meet Lena, who lives opposite. She's in tears and in shock. Everything was destroyed, she says, crying.
May we come and look? Is that okay with you? Can you
just put on that
Michael and James.
Wow. Lena and her husband Mikhail show us the devastation to their home. She describes taking shelter in the corridor when the blast hit.
So take a look. These were Lena's neighbors, her friends, people she knew, and they were wiped out. How do they keep their humor?
If it's not for our sense of humor, she says, we'd join them in the grave. We are Ukrainians. We keep strong. As the war rages and with political tensions rising between the U.S. and Russia, American Brittany Griner began her trial in Moscow today. Russian police say they found vape cartridges in the basketball star's luggage back in February containing hashish oil, which is illegal in Russia. Griner's Russian lawyer told ABC News the judge read Griner the charges as the state presented its case in a closed-door hearing. If Griner's found guilty, she could spend 5 to 10 years in a Russian prison. The U.S. government criticized her detainment as unlawful, saying it's actively working to bring her home.
She asked me to convey that she is in good spirits and is keeping up the faith.
And with the Griner trial is expected to last several months, and it's very likely that this war will still be raging when it's over. Whit.
An unfortunate reality. All right, James, thank you. Back here at home, President Biden meeting with 10 Democratic governors trying to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court's overturning of Roe v. Wade. The president telling them the fight is not over and warning of a possible nationwide ban on abortion if Republicans gain control of Congress. Here's ABC's senior White House correspondent, Mary Bruce.
1 week after Roe was overturned, and with the fight over abortion chaotically playing out state by state, President Biden today convened a panel of Democratic governors to figure out what they can do.
Mr. President, I have a brand new granddaughter. I didn't think we'd have to fight this battle for her generation as well, but apparently we do.
Well, I didn't think we would either.
Biden is under increasing pressure, some Democrats calling him slow to respond to the decision that has rocked the country. Right now, at least 12 states have stopped nearly all abortion services. In Florida, a judge is expected to temporarily block the state's 15-week abortion ban. But Republican Governor Ron DeSantis is vowing to appeal.
These are unborn babies that have heartbeat. They can feel pain.
In New York today, the state Senate taking the first step to enshrine the right to an abortion into the state constitution. In New Jersey, Democratic Governor Phil Murphy signing a law protecting women who come to the state seeking an abortion and the health care providers who perform the procedures.
These laws will make New Jersey a beacon of freedom for every American woman.
Back in Washington, Biden is looking ahead to the midterms, warning if Republicans take control of Congress, they could pass a nationwide abortion ban.
So the choice is clear. We either elect federal senators and representatives who will codify Roe, Republicans who will elect the House and Senate will try to ban abortions nationwide. Nationwide.
Mary Bruce back with us now. And Mary, we heard President Biden say recently he wants the Senate to do away with the filibuster, to pass legislation to protect abortion rights. But today, even he admitted that's not likely to happen.
You're with the president today admitting the political reality here that even with Biden's backing, he still doesn't have enough support to change the Senate rules to get this done. Two moderate Democrats are still opposed. And that is why you are hearing the president repeatedly stressing the importance of the upcoming midterm elections. Whit.
Mary, thank you. Next tonight, nearly 6 weeks after the horrific mass shooting in Uvalde, Texas, family members are still desperate for answers, confronting the mayor, criticizing the district attorney, asking why more wasn't done to save their loved ones. Those officials say their hands are tied. ABC's Maria Villarreal with our report, Uvalde 365, a continuing ABC News series on the Texas community trying to cope in the shadow of tragedy.
Anguish and anger boiling over for families nearly 6 weeks after 21 people were massacred inside Robb Elementary.
Kids were obliterated. My sister's obliterated. It was in closed casket.
Loved ones begging Uvalde officials to know why other law enforcement officers besides Chief Pete Arredondo didn't rush into the classroom.
I know there's a limit on what you can do. Go beyond that. What if it was your kid?
The mayor insisting even he can't get those answers while the shooting is still under investigation.
We're not trying to hide anything from you. We're not trying to do anything. We don't have anything.
Hold comfort for parents.
District attorney, governor, everybody that's accountable for this massacre that happened here in Uvalde, be accountable. Show your face. Answer our questions now. Now, now, now.
We caught up with District Attorney Christina Busby today at her office.
I have been meeting individually with the families of the deceased and the families of the injured, and we're working our way through that list.
The mayor says that he's been asking for information over and over and over and over and has been getting absolutely nothing, and he got torn apart at last night's meeting.
The reason he's not getting comment from any of our local leaders.
With several families that are directly impacted by this shooting say they have yet to hear from the district attorney, but there are families that have recently met with her. I just spoke with one of those families a few minutes ago. He tells me, even in confidence, the district attorney is refusing to give them any new information about what happened the day of the shooting. Whit.
And we can still hear the pain in the voices of those family members. All right, Maria, thank you. When we come back here tonight, the ride at the zoo stranding dozens of visitors high above the ground and a major shakeup coming to college sports.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Next tonight, the scare high above the ground in Mendon, Massachusetts. At least 40 people, including children, stuck on the Skyfari ride at Southwick Zoo. The temperature near 90 degrees, some workers tossing water up to the riders. Rescuers using cherry pickers to lower them back to the ground. The chairlift gives riders an aerial view of the animals throughout the park. NBA star Miles Bridges arrested on domestic violence charges in Los Angeles. Following his arrest, his wife, Michelle Johnson, posting photos online appearing to show injuries and bruises on her face and body, claiming she was abused by her husband. She writes in her post, quote, "I can't be silent anymore and says their children have been traumatized. Bridges, who plays for the Charlotte Hornets, has yet to comment. The team is investigating. To the index now, a seismic shakeup in college sports. USC and UCLA are moving to the Big Ten Conference in 2024. Some say leaving the Pac-12 in danger of collapse. The schools are the most valuable teams in that conference. The Big Ten would eventually stretch from coast to coast. The move expected to help close its new media rights deal, possibly worth more than $1 billion a year. President Biden will award the Medal of Freedom to 17 recipients next week. Among those receiving America's top civilian honor, Olympic gold medalist Simone Biles. Also American soccer star Megan Rapinoe, the late Apple co-founder Steve Jobs, Sandra Lindsay, the first American to receive a COVID shot outside clinical trials, the president's longtime friend, the late Senator John McCain, and actor Denzel Washington. Finally tonight, America Strong, America's longest-serving flight attendant, flying into the record books.
Cabin secure, okay to close?
Okay.
Meet Betty Nash.
All right, it's going on my social media.
At 86 years young, she now holds the Guinness World Record for being the oldest and longest serving flight attendant ever.
Thank you for flying with us this morning.
On the job for nearly 65 years with what is now American Airlines, our affiliate WJLA caught up with her a few years ago.
She is the most senior flight attendant in the world.
Betty began flying in 1957 when Dwight Eisenhower was president. At 21 years old, starting her career with Eastern Airlines, a few mergers later, becoming part of American.
I was happy. Oh my God, I'm the luckiest person in the world.
She chose the shuttle route, flying several times a week from Washington, D.C. to Boston so she could care for her son with special needs.
I wanted to be home every night. So it wasn't a choice for me.
And so much has changed during her decades in the sky, from smoking on planes.
We used to pass out cigarettes and matches.
To the price of an airline ticket.
When it started, I think it was $12 one way.
Today, Betty says her longevity comes from her passion to serve and offer kindness to others.
Standing there is one of the most important parts of the job.
Way to go, Betty. And we are grateful for all you do. I'm Whit Johnson in New York. I'll see you on GMA in the morning. For David and all of us here, have a great holiday weekend.